Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, turn in the Old Testament. I'm going to start out here in the book of Hosea. I want to read that scripture again that we had last week. Hosea chapter 10. And before we get into the Word, let's just pray here. Father, I just thank you for the Word. You said the Word's not just ink on paper, but your Word's a living Word. It has the ability right now to leap into our heart. It has the ability to open our eyes. It has the ability, Lord, to speak to us your truth. And so I pray right now, Lord, that your word's spoken. And it goes out from my lips, but it's not my words, it's your words. And it speaks to the hearts of the people. And that what each and every one of us need to hear today, Lord, we're going to hear. And it's going to change our lives. It's going to set us free. And it's going to make us to be more like you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I started this message last week talking about your potential. Each and every one of you have awesome, great, amazing potential within you. Whether you realize it or not, whether you think you've tapped into all the potential you possibly could have, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking this morning, but I guarantee you this much, you do have an amazing amount of potential on the inside of you. You can do things. Listen to me. You can do things that only you can dream. But if you don't dream and you don't believe you have any potential, you're not ever going to do anything. Hello? Look at the person right beside you and say, man, you're amazing. Listen. First of all, let me say this. In the last 2,000 years, when Jesus came on the face of the earth and he paid the ultimate price for us by going to the cross and dying for us, but then on the third day he was resurrected or risen from the dead, okay? From that day to today, you're the only creation, the only creature ever been here on earth, planet earth, a human being that can house the Spirit of God on the inside of him. So prior to 2,000 years ago, there wasn't anybody that was even close to you. So if you're going to look at your competition, it was only starting 2,000 years ago to now. Huh. How about that? That already puts you in a special category. Nobody else on the face of the earth has been like you. Because prior to Jesus coming on this earth, man could only enter into a temple and the presence of God would be there and they could maybe sense the presence of God or feel the presence of God. God could possibly speak to the kings, the priests, or the prophets and talk to them. But as a common person on this earth, you did not have the Spirit of God living within inside of you or residing within you. It wasn't possible because man had no place of holiness in him prior to the blood of Jesus coming in our life. So you talk about potential. You're a new creation on this earth. The Spirit of the living God can live on the inside of you, can speak to you, can go everywhere you go because you've made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Amen? So, I mean, it's like, how can I even emphasize it more? You're walking around with the creator of the universe within you. I mean, you're pretty much, you got your potential. I mean, you, woo. What else could you need? What other problem could you come up against in life that the creator of the world couldn't fix? Right? He said, well, but, no, there's no well buts. There's no yabbits in this. He either is in you or he's not. You're either saved or you're not. You're either the temple of the living God or you're not. And if you are, then the Spirit of God lives inside of you, the same Spirit that created this world, that put the stars in the sky. How many of y'all, what was it a couple of weeks ago when the moon was the closest it had ever been? Did y'all see that? That was wow, man. It looked like you could just reach up there and just grab it. Well, the God that put that in place is in you. Hello? Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, the scripture says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Fallow ground, we talked about last week. Fallow ground is that area, that ground. It doesn't necessarily mean it's bad dirt. It's not bad ground. Fallow ground is just, it has potential, but you've just not plowed it. It's just not producing. It's like the garden that you let sit dormant. It's there, but it's just grown up with weeds and stuff. It's got to go in there and you've got to plow it up. You've got to, you know, get everything out of the way, get all the rocks and get everything out of there, the thorns and the thistles, whatever it is that's grown up in that ground. But that fallow ground is there, and every one of us have a place. I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord. We all have areas of our life that's fallow ground. It's ground that could be making potential for us. It could be producing for us. It's ground that has potential that could be producing for us, but we don't have it in the rotation of our crop. Y'all know, I mean, come on, you should know. We're in farming communities here. If you're not a farmer, you still ought to know that you can't go out every year and plant a field and plant corn in that field every year. And you just hammer it and hammer it and hammer it. No matter how much fertilizer you put into it, no matter what you do to it, you have to rotate your crops. Everything has to be rotated. Right? Because what's going to happen, your yield's going to get less and less and less and less and less and less. You're not getting your full potential. Well, the same thing with you. You may have just been producing a crop of, you know, I don't know what. Some could be good, some could be bad. Right? You may be growing a whole lot of hurt. Or you may be growing in some other areas of your life just great things. I mean, you're producing king-size tomatoes or something, you know? But we all have fallow ground with our life, and the Lord is encouraging us all throughout the Scriptures that you've got to look into your life and find that fallow ground and plow it up. You've got to do it. He's not going to do it. You've got to do it, okay? Let me read another Scripture to you. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like a fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings." In other words, the life that we're living, the Lord's encouraging these men. He said, look, the life you're living and what you're doing, it's not producing good. And the only way you're going to produce good is you've got to plow up the fallow ground that's within your heart. The places that you've let grow callous, the places you've let grow hard, the places you've let just grow indifferent to the Lord, you got to plow up those areas so it starts to produce. Because everything in the kingdom of God is about seed time and harvest. Now listen to me. If I gave you, let's just use corn. If I gave you some really good corn seed, and I said, here, I want to give you this corn seed so you can go home and you can grow corn. And you took it home and you put it in a jar, a glass jar, and you set it on your table and you looked at it every day and said, man, look at this. This is the seeds that Pastor gave. It's supposed to be some great corn. I mean, it's good corn. It's just amazing corn. It's going to grow there. And then everybody came in and you told everybody about your corn seed, but you never took your corn seed and put it in the ground. You're not going to get any corn. And you can't get mad at me because you didn't get any corn. You can't say, well, that corn seed didn't work. But yet Christians have in their hands the Word of God. All the seed of God's Word that you would ever need to grow in your heart, love, compassion, mercy, faith, everything you would need, wisdom, understanding, everything you would need is right there contained within that Scriptures, His Word. It's contained within there, and He says, just like the seed sitting on your table, if you don't do anything with it, it's not going to produce. When I did not know the Lord, my grandfather, he was a godly man, and my grandfather, when I graduated high school, gave me a Bible. He presented it to me, had a little inscription in the front of it, of this Bible, and he gave me a Bible. It's not this Bible, but gave me a Bible. And it was kind of like, oh, Gee, thanks. And in the inscription of that Bible said, it said, Robert, everything you need to know is contained within these pages. If you will read them and take them to heart, your life will be a success. I love you and pray that you will take this to heart. And that Bible, containing the words of life, sat. I kept it because my grandfather had given it to me, so I cherished it, but I never read it, never cracked the page in it, put it up on a shelf. It stayed there for over 12, 14 years. It sat there, and I never opened it until I almost blew my brains out and made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And the first thing I went to was I picked that Bible up, and I read those words, and I said, man, if I'd have started 14 years ago, I'd be better off, but all I can do is start today. And I turned the first page and started to read that Bible for the very first time in my life. You see, the seed was always there, but I never did anything with it. I had fallow ground within my heart. I had maybe some little areas that were producing something of good, but I had all this fallow ground, this unsown ground. It wasn't producing anything. It was just sitting there in my heart. I may have been sowing seeds of doubt, seeds of hatred, seeds of anger, seeds of lust, seeds of whatever within my heart, because that's all I knew to sow. So I was growing a good old crop of anger. Right? You know, women always tell us men that we're not emotional. We don't use that. You're not emotional. Well, I was emotional. Man, I developed anger very well. I had one emotion. Proverbs 13:23 tells us, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but for a lack of justice, there's waste. In other words, the poor are poor because they never till the fallow ground. Well, it's not talking just about poor of monetary or poor of food there. It's talking about poor in our souls because we didn't do anything with it. And now is the day and time that God is crying out again to stir up and to till your fallow ground. Do not let there be places in your life that you're not producing, because you have great potential to do anything in life, but you've got to till up that ground and start getting into producing. Amen? Okay, so go to Mark chapter 4. This is where I want us to go. Mark chapter 4. Jesus came and he told a parable of the sowers. And he spoke this parable and nobody understood it. He was talking about ground. He was talking about production. And in verse 13, his disciples had come to him and said, hey, can you explain this parable to us? And in verse 13, he said to the disciples, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? In other words, if we don't get an understanding that God does things in our life by seed time and harvest, everything in life comes about by seed time and harvest. This world functions with seed time and harvest. I'll tell y'all something funny. I mean, y'all know that I like to ride a motorcycle. And, I guess bikers depends, you know, but I guess they have a bad reputation. And so I've just noticed that when I have my leather jacket on or bandana on or whatever I have on, that people tend to look at me a little odd. And so I've just got to notice, though, that I love to ride a motorcycle so much that whenever I'm riding, I like to ride until a smile comes on my face, which sometimes can be shorter if it's been a hard week, and then sometimes it takes me a few more miles, and a smile comes on my face, and I just enjoy it. I love it. And I've got to noticing that because I'm smiling, because I'm happy, because I'm doing what I would like to do, that I become more friendly. And the more friendly I get, it takes people off guard. And then the more friendly I get, then they're all wanting to talk to me. And then before long, I'm having these engaging these conversations with people that I would have normally never, ever talked to before. But what I've noticed is that as I became friendlier because I was happy and sowing seeds of friendliness, I immediately reaped friendliness. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow anger, you're going to reap anger. Just walk into a store, tell the clerk to hurry up. Go into an airport and just right up the bat, just begin to just tell them how bad they are and what all, and see where your luggage ends up. What you sow, you're going to reap. Right? Jesus said, if you don't get this principle in your life of sowing and reaping, you're not going to understand anything that's going on in the kingdom. It's about sowing and reaping. Okay? He says in there, I can't see it. I thought I could there for a second. Get my helpers out. Verse 14, he says, now the sower sows the word. And these are the ones that by the wayside, where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. When does he come? So then, gosh, I guess he's right outside that door. I'm sowing. So immediately he wants to take it away. Some of you may have already got what I said lost already because you're thinking about the roast or where you're going to go eat or that's good. Perfect timing. Right? Have you ever been sitting in church? I hope not, but I know you have because I've done it. Sitting in church and you're all in tune with what's going on in the message and all of a sudden you're off thinking about something else. Devil comes immediately, steal the word. You know, when he says immediately means he's really concerned about it, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't come immediately. Why is he coming immediately? Because he doesn't want you to get it, because he's scared. If it gets sown, it's going to produce, and if it produces, it's going to make you start to reach your potential. Right? He doesn't want you to hear the word. He doesn't want the word sown in your life. He doesn't want you to read your Bible. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to talk to God in any form or fashion. He doesn't want you to go to church. He doesn't want you to listen. He doesn't want you to do anything. Because as long as you're sterile of God's word, then you can't. He's not so worried about that. What you're going to produce. Have you ever noticed that some people, they don't serve the Lord. They just live a heathen life. And it seems like they get off easier than sometimes people that serve the Lord with all their heart. Well, the devil ain't worried about them. They're already headed to hell. He's worried about you getting some seed in you and starting to have some forgiveness in you, starting to have some love in you, starting to have some compassion in you, starting to have some of the attributes of Jesus in your life coming forth. That's what he's worried about. Okay? So he says, the sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is in their heart. Notice that the word, it says it's like by the wayside. Okay, by the wayside. In other words, it's ground that is over here that's probably hardened. You know how, like if you the sides of the bar ditches where if a person drove or if the equipment's run or whatever, it gets hard right there, right? Those areas of the wayside of your life that aren't have never had a plow put to them. You know what it is? It's the areas of our life that we're selfish to. We're self-centered on those areas. Because we like it. We don't want to change. We don't want anything to grow there that might take some work. We're selfish. We want it to be that way. We want the world to change around us so that we can keep that piece of ground. But the Lord said, that's not the what you do. You have to till up that ground and let it produce something. And those wayside areas of our life that the devil comes immediately to try to sow are the places in your life that you started to yield and become unselfish, unself-centered on. You started to yield to, you started to get some seed in there. And then immediately the devil took it and you didn't really care. Said, oh, well, I lost it. Because you didn't really want to do it anyway. How many times have we started out in life? I mean, let's just be real. How many times have we started out to walk in love or forgiveness or mercy, and then the next day you just ran across the meanest, ugliest, oh, nastiest person you've ever been across, and you're just like, well, I ain't going to do this no more. I'm trying to make myself vulnerable one time. Got you coming there. And then we just go off, right? Hasn't that happened to all of us? We've all started out to put our best foot forward. Oh, I'm just going to be a person of love and joy. And you didn't make it to the center street, and all of a sudden it was all gone. You hate everybody. What are you doing? Who are you looking at? Well, it's just the principle. You started to plow up some of those areas that they're selfish because it's easier to be selfish. It's not productive, but it's easier. Hello? I mean, I got to understand that. It's easier to be selfish. It's not productive. Right? And so you start to plow, you start to put the plow down to those selfish areas of your life that you know that the Lord wants you to change. Isn't it interesting? I was thinking about this the other day. That, think of this. You could probably go to, I guess there could be somebody that wouldn't know, but you could probably go to just about anybody you know and ask them, what is a Christian supposed to be like? Or how do you think Jesus would act or whatever? And they would tell you. Right? I mean, there's people who don't go to church all the time say, well, I'm not going to church. Church full of hypocrites. Well, the only way you can know what a hypocrite would be is you know what it's supposed to be or what you think it's supposed to be. Right? Heard somebody say the other day that somebody said to him, said, I don't go to church. It's just church is full of hypocrites. They said, well, come on over. We can always use some more. But you see what I'm saying? How, if you know, like I know, I'm just saying, if you just ask them, they would say, well, a Christian's supposed to be, and they would tell you what they think a Christian's supposed to be. Where did they get that? Because I think inside of man, there's a point of all of us that we think of what is good and what is right, and this is the way that a person should act. Are y'all with me? Y'all following me here? They say, well, that guy's a bad guy. Well, what determined a bad guy? Well, somewhere they have set within them what a good guy is. Right? And then we Christians take and we dissect it all up and make it even more difficult trying to figure out, well, how good is good and who's really good and then who's good and who's just average and who's whatever. And then we dissect it all up and say, well, they're doing this. They're only this. They're only this level here and they're going to... Y'all with me? But all of us, humans I'm talking about, would say what's a right way to handle something, what's a wrong way. Right? So then, selfishness comes from knowing what you should do, but not wanting to do it. Well, I know I should be nice, but I just don't want to. You know you're supposed to be nice, but you don't want to. Well, I guess I shouldn't have acted like that. Who told you that? It's something on the inside of us, telling us what's right and what's wrong. Are you following me here? In marriages, you find that all the time. I always, whenever I'm doing premarital counseling, I'm always talking about, look, you guys are marrying each other. You lost everything, and she lost everything, and you got to put it together because neither one of you have any place for being selfish in life, because I don't care what you say. You're not going to make it if you are both selfish. Well, he should. Well, she should. Well, wait a minute. Why don't you just try to make her as happy as you can, and she try to make you as happy as you can, and see if that won't work. Both of you give up everything. And everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. But see, that's what selfishness is, and those are those hard places, and that's what the devil comes immediately to steal, because if you start to give up some of those places, then you're going to start to produce great potential. And if you're going to produce great potential, he said, man, I don't want you to be producing great potential. I want you to just be a sterile Christian. Non-productive. All right? The next verse he goes down here, he says, and likewise, these are the ones that are sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word of God, immediately receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these stony ground places are the places in our heart that we have plowed up and we've attempted to do good with. But we've got these stones in there. And the stones are the places in life, the things that we have not truly walked in forgiveness. We've not truly walked in repentance. And they've developed to be strongholds in our life that we're pretty much stuck on. So now what you're doing is you're trying to grow the ground. You've plowed up the fallow ground around these stones, and you're producing around it. But if you were going to have to plow your field, you would be plowing like this, just around and around, because you have to go around every one of these stones that are in your heart, all the places in life that we've not truly repented of, not truly walked in forgiveness of. So then, now you're nice to those people that are nice. So in marriages, you and your wife, you don't fight as long as you're not dealing with any issues touching your stones. But you touch my subject, my stone over here, you touch my place of hardness, then fight's on. Right? As long as you don't get around those things, you just plow around them. And so some of y'all are just plowing, the wildest looking configurations in the world, because you're having to go around those places because, don't touch them. Now, wouldn't it be easier to just get you some straight rows going? It would be a lot less difficult. Just get you some straight rows going. But those are things that have to come about, that the Holy Spirit has to come into your life and show you what they are, and then you have to deal with them. You got to deal with them. All right? So it's areas and things that you don't really want to give up. Look at the person beside you and say, man, I think a preacher's gone to meddling now. Now, if you notice, it says they don't have any root in themselves, so they endure only for a time, and afterwards when tribulation, persecution arises of the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So, immediately when the tribulation comes or the problems come, well, then you've got this rock in the road. Back to my motorcycle stories. I don't like rocks. And I've got a quarter of a mile of Caliche Road that I have to ride my bike down. And so when I walk down my Caliche Road, I am always kicking rocks out of the way. Get that rock out of the way. I don't want to run over that rock. I don't care if it's that big or, however big. I'm getting them out of my way. I'm throwing them over to the side. I don't want those stones in my way because I don't want to hit it and end up in the dirt. Right? But as Christians, see, we just think that we can keep plowing around it And we're doing good for right now. We're just playing around. But God gets us to the place and says, look, I need some potential out of you. I need some great growth out of you. And you're going to have to get out there and get that stone out. And the only way you're going to get it out is with repentance and forgiveness. The next one goes down here and it says, verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for the things, enter in and choke the word. It becomes unfruitful. So, the thorns in life represent all the places in life that you've been wounded and hurt. Every disappointment, every event, or every person who's ever hurt you or let you down, things didn't go the way that you thought they should. Whether it was you just had preconceived notions of the way you thought it should go or whatever, whether it's your fault, their fault, everybody's fault, no matter what, in life you got wounded. And the problem is if those wounds aren't healed, then it does just what happened. Then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, that this just you just get distracted, you just get it just your productivity just gets stolen from you. Because somewhere down the road, those hurts is all you can see. You don't see anything else good. And there's only one way to get those thorns out of your life that I know of, is that you got to be healed. And the only way you're going to be healed is by allowing the Spirit of God to come in there and heal you. The Holy Ghost has to do surgery on you. He has to be able to guide you and direct you in life of what you need. You know, there was one time that years ago that I was sitting on the edge of my bed, and I was kind of frustrated about some stuff, and I was praying, and I said these words out of my mouth. I said, man, Lord, I'm at my end. I don't know what to do. And the phone rang. A friend of mine called me and said, man, I got this scripture for you. Psalms 107. I don't know if it means anything to you, but I just felt like I needed to tell you that scripture this morning. And in that Psalms, it says, you reel to and fro like a drunken man who's at his wit's end. That was what it said. And I was like, whoa. And so I read down through the rest of the verses, and the Lord spoke to my heart and touched me. And I actually, you know, felt peace. And that's actually when we started the Waterhole Ministry out of that scripture and started rescuing children around the world and everything going on. You see, God can touch you, but you got to let Him. He can touch you, but you got to let Him. He's not going to violate your free will. The Holy Spirit's never going to come and invade your space and jump on you and take something from your heart that you're not willing to let go. If you're not willing to lay it on the altar of God and said, Lord, fix it, then He's not going to do it. He will not violate your free will. You know, the great constitution that this country is founded upon. Have you ever noticed how everyone's trying to, I mean, they always have been, because it's an amazing document inspired by the Lord for us to rule this country by. But everybody's always trying to go back and trying to water it down, trying to make it say something that it really doesn't. You with me? Everybody talking about the constitutionality of this and that and the other, and everybody studies that, and then they come out of this and say, well, and I even heard one the other day, well, it was written 200 years ago. You know, people thought different back then. 200 years ago? I'm reading the Bible, and it was that Genesis, you know, we're talking about events that happened 6,000 years ago, and I mean, I can read it and understand it. But like that, like the same principle about God's word is people want to take God's word and they want to water it down. They want to turn it around and say, yeah, well, but if, you know, all these things to take away the power of God's word. But the truth is God, by the power of his spirit, by the power of his word, can heal anything in your heart if you would give it to him. But if you don't give it to him, he has the greatest power behind his own word, which is he's not going to violate your free will. So no matter what, he will not violate your free will. He's not going to violate it. He's not going to take it from you because that's what makes you, you. That's what's the difference between us being robots, being programmed that it's Sunday and you have to come in here and stand here and say, praise God, praise God, praise God. But you freely came. You freely drove. You got up this morning and you freely made the decision to come. Oh, you may have been coerced somehow, but it was still ultimately your choice. You came, you made, you could have put your foot down and said, I ain't going. Right? God wants free will beings to worship him. People to come in and freely give him praise, freely worship him. And he is not going to remove anything from your life, even if it's killing you, until you freely give it to him. Till you lay it on the altar of God and said, Lord, that relationship, that hurt, that pain, that fear right there that I've been plagued with forever, I give it to you. And lay it down. He isn't going to do anything with it. He's waiting for you to do it. And then he's going to probably come to you and say, are you really want me to do something with it? Because when I do something, it's going to change. Because sometimes our craziness becomes our security. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes our craziness becomes our security. Our woe is me becomes things that are good for us because we got some sympathy out of it. Let's just get healed. Let's just be whole. Let's just be everything God called us to be. Amen? So you've got to allow the Spirit of God to work on you. The last thing here, it says in verse 20, but these are the ones that are sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, they accept it. They accept it. They bear fruit. Then some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Notice that word, accept there. It means that you received it. They heard the word, and they received it. Some of the hardest words for God to receive, from God to receive are, would you stop doing that, please? We're like, I didn't hear that. But when we hear it, we receive it, we take it, we say, okay. We take it in. So then it's going to come into your ground. It's going to plow up that fallow ground. That word is going to start working. It's going to plow up all that fallow ground. It's going to get that stone removed. It's going to get those thorns out of your life. It's going to get you healed. It's going to begin to remove it all up. And then it's going to start, the word's going to get sown in there. It's going to start to get planted. You know, I know y'all know this because we all have to deal with cedar around here. And if you can take a place that's just totally infested with cedar. There's no grass growing on it or whatever. You can go in there and you can either bulldoze it or snip it all out and clear that place and stir up the ground and just be full of just cedar needles all over the place. You know, just completely cover. You think nothing could grow there. It looks as if it's the ground sterile. And you stir the ground up. You just run the tracks of the bobcat over to whatever it is and you stir it up and then let a rain come. And then seed that's been laying dormant, could have been laying dormant for I don't know how long, that's in that ground, will start to find its way up and it'll start to produce. And all of a sudden, one day you walk out there and look and say, man, look at this. Prairie love grass growing right out here. Man, I hadn't seen that in forever. Look at this, man. Look at the blue stems that are growing out here. We didn't know this was that. I didn't put any seed out here. No, it was in the ground. It was because it's been laying there dormant, waiting for somebody to get the cedar off of it, stir the grounds, that fallow ground, so it could begin to grow. And then all of a sudden, you start to get production. Then one day, you could walk out there. Now, it takes time. Then happen overnight, takes time. And you walk out there, and you look, and you say, look at this place. And somebody could drive up to your place and look at it and say, wow, you have such a beautiful place. And you said, yeah, it wouldn't always look like this. Let me show you what we started out with and flip the old picture out of his old just cedar break there. And you're like, wow, that was that? Yeah, it took time. So it is in your marriage. So it is in your life. So it is in everything. It doesn't just happen overnight, but you've got to know what you're doing. You've got to go at it. You've got to have some vision. You've got to know what you want your life to be like. You want it to be like Jesus. Get all that cedar cut out of there. Get that stuff out of there. Get the ground stirred up. And that fallow ground then will just start producing. And then you'll have you a beautiful garden going and be out manicuring and mowing the grass in no time at all. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, you're a producer. I can tell. You're a producer. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Can I have my prayer team come down, please? Church, listen to me. You know, I try to make surgery in this as least painful as I can. Because I believe that when I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit's doing surgery on you. And He's bringing things to your attention. Things are jumping up and you're saying, oh, gosh. I didn't think about that. Right? Am I speaking to the right people today? Yeah. But you got to take it to the next step. Because remember, right outside that door, Beelzebub awaiteth to steal what you heard today. He's just waiting to pluck it out of your heart and say, you don't need that. So whatever is brought to your attention today, you need to hang on to it. Don't say, Lord, I just give you my whole heart. Here I am. Because that's overwhelming. You need to know the one thing that He wants to start working on. The one area. The one hurt. The one pain. The one stone, the one thorn, and submit that to Him. So I want to pray for you generally. But then we got our prayer team up here today. And I want to encourage you that if there's something that's on your heart heavy, come get prayer. Get the thing covered in prayer. And then let God begin just to work in you. So let's just go to the Lord now in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this word today. I thank you for the word being sown within the hearts of the people. And I pray right now over each and every one. That Lord, I know that you're doing surgery in us. I know that you're bringing things to our attention. I know that we've heard a word today. And I just declare that the good work you've started in each and every one of us, Lord, you're going to finish it. I pray right now over each and every person, Lord, that they're sealed and this message is sealed in the Holy Spirit and the enemy is not going to steal it from them. He is not going to steal it from them. And I declare right now that, Lord, our fallow ground is going to be plowed up and we're going to be productive for you. We're going to produce to our fullest potential. Lord God, we thank you for it. And Lord, we praise you for it. For all your goodness to us. All your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, church, we're down here to pray with you. I just believe you're going to have a great week. Be blessed in everything you do. And we'll be down here to pray with you if you want. God bless.